Hi, welcome to RD Power Hour. This is Libby. I'm drinking Chardonnay.
This is Morgan. I'm drinking a mojito again. They're my go-to.
Delicious.
Hey, it's Cody, and I ran out of alcohol this week, so I'm drinking water.
Shameful. Shameful, but okay.
It's okay this one time, Cody, but next time.
I don't even, is it even possible, Morgan? Have you ever run out of alcohol?
I don't think so. I think there's always, because we have a cute little like bar cart in my house. There's always, whether it's like the cheapest liquor you can imagine or like a beer in the fridge, we always have at least like something here. I don't think we've ever been like a completely dry house ever.
Yeah, I don't think I've been out of alcohol since before I went to college, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
Whew, it's been a
It's part of just a pantry.
yeah. Go to the grocery
Always
store,
got to be prepared.
necessities
The
and
essentials.
vegetables and beer.
Exactly.
So today we're going to talk about body image, and I'm really excited because I have stories to tell you guys, and I'm really excited to hear just like what you guys like your perspectives on it.
Yeah, I'm excited too. And especially, Cody, you work in pediatrics. I'm sure you have a lot of great stories. So I'm excited to hear them.
I already have a couple, so sadly,
Cool.
yeah.
Yeah, so I think the reason we wanted to talk about this was kind of because from last week and our philosophies as dietitians and kind of our views as on what we see a healthy lifestyle as and kind of the societal stigma that like being healthy means you have to be quote unquote fit, like as a term. And then, I mean, I'm not sure that that's necessarily all encompassing, but when I think of the, when people say fit, quote unquote fit, like the first image I get is like Instagram model, big old booty, like no body fat, like just kind of a really like, I don't know, like the idealistic, what we think our bodies should look like kind of person.
Totally, and I think social media has made it so much worse because, I mean, people can make their bodies look a certain way on Instagram or on anything, and who knows if it's even real. But if it is, it's just so unattainable for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, it's funny, Libby, you said you talk about quote unquote fit. I think the reality is people like we all throw that term around today, but when people say fit, it actually has nothing to do with if you can pass the benchmark physical fitness test, right? It's not what you can do so much as looking a certain way. True.
Yes, exactly, which is why it bothers me. Oh yeah, and oh, I remember I was on a tangent. I'm
Yeah.
sorry. So I used to work at like at the rec at on campus, right? And it was always like there was a certain type of person who came into the gym during what I called bro hour. But you know, but then like the 11 p.m. shift was always kind of the people who were working maybe towards a goal. And one of them like was my really close friend, and I asked her, I was like, why do you always work out so late? Like, I hate working out late. There's partying to be had, whatever. And she was like, well, because I don't feel comfortable because I feel like when I come to the gym and I don't look like someone who goes to the gym, I'm not welcome at the gym. And I was like, oh my God, like fitness is for everyone. Like,
Yeah, Libby,
it's
that is so true. I used to work as a personal trainer, and so many of my clients were so intimidated about going to the gym because they didn't look like everybody else who was at the gym. And to be fair, so I worked at Axiom Fitness in Boise. And to be fair, a lot of the people that work out there have those like body types that are, I guess, idealistic right now, but just super muscular, low body fat. Who knows what their diet is like, because I don't always think that like a healthy diet would make you look like that. So I think like that's something we can talk about a little more. But I think that intimidates people to go to the gym a lot.
Right. Do you guys think that this has gotten more exacerbated with social media, or was it going on before?
Oh, I think it's always gone on, like,
I agree.
you know, because there's always like those things. It's like the beauty standard through the ages for women. Men,
Oh,
I,
true.
you know, I'm guilty. I don't really pay attention, but for women, it's like the Marilyn Monroe era was the time of the curvy chick, right? Like she had hips and she wasn't a twig. And then there's like kind of that 90s supermodel era where women were really, really sickly thin to a point, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's kind of, you know, there's a push for body inclusivity. There's a huge push and a lot of companies that are trying to pursue it. But then there's also like this huge gap where the body inclusivity movement stops and Instagram starts.
Yeah.
In my opinion, at least. And yeah. I think that definitely it's made worse by having social media as an option.
Yeah. I think before social media, we had mass media, like you mentioned, Marilyn Monroe and Hollywood. I mean, you go all the way back and look at, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. That was huge, I feel like, in defining like what an ideal male body would look like too. And even if you don't necessarily agree with that, if you look around and you're growing up and that's constantly what you see, that's what you see. And, you know, you think that that's normal. You think that that's right. And no matter how unrealistic it is. And now I think it's just even more exacerbated with social media.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I just think that, like, honestly, one of the most detrimental things to nutrition as a whole are celebrities. Like, please, celebrities, stop sharing nutrition advice to the public. Like, it drives me. Does anybody else feel like that?
I hate it. Unless you're Mae Musk and you are a dietitian and a supermodel.
That's
you
right.
Your opinions to yourself.
Yes. Even like freaking, I fucking love J-Lo. Like, she's one of my favorites. But she did, like, I can't remember if it was keto or like.
It was the no carb, no sugar challenge.
Yes.
For
and it was
10
like,
days or something.
Yes. However many days she did no carbs at all and no sugar. And so many of my friends and like just people I knew were like, well, J-Lo's doing like no carbs, no sugar. And look at how she looks at 50. And I'm like, okay, fair. She looks fucking hot. But you are not J-Lo. Like, never on this planet are you going to have the same body as J-Lo, no matter what you eat. Like, you could eat the exact same thing J-Lo's eating, do the exact same fitness routine, whatever. You will not look like J-Lo. And
because
I mean,
J-Lo is J-Lo.
Is. Yeah.
Right? Yes.
And it just sucks that, like, celebrities have so much influence on people. And I mean, influencers in general, like on Instagram, they can impact people so much. And it sucks that they're the ones that get a lot of the attention for giving like nutrition and fitness advice when really like they have no education, no knowledge. Like, that's just what works for them to look a certain way, not necessarily to be healthy. So,
yeah.
Right.
I want to like give you sorority finger snaps right now. That was like...
Thanks, Libby. I can feel it. I can feel the.
Oh yeah. Snaps. Oh good. Oh good. The whole herd. There's 30 chicks in the background. Snap, snap, snapping.
This might be kind of shifting the topic too, but you know, we're all dietitians. We're interested in nutrition and living a healthy lifestyle and interventions for disease and all those good things, but. One of the things that constantly really shocks me as a nutritionist dietitian is that you look at the landscape today and people are not as interested in nutrition as they are in looking a certain way, if that makes sense. They equate, we've started to equate good nutrition with having the look, having the ideal body, losing weight or whatever, rather than nourishing your body to be healthy and including a variety of foods.
Oh what? My God, Cody. Yes.
I totally agree.
That's exactly. And I think it's just, I mean, and that is what drives me bonkers is it's like, you know, I'm not a big person. None of us are, you know, we're all pretty slim people by choice, by genetics. Okay. Like, I am just human. I have small bone structure if we're going off of that type of ideal. Right. Yeah. But it's also like, I don't look like everyone else. I just don't. And I'm never going to, like, I'm not shaped the same as everyone and it's chill. But I think the problem is like people see me and they see that I'm a dietitian and they're like, oh, you must eat great to look that good. And it's like, yeah, I mean, I eat pretty good because I'm a dietitian and I do care about what I'm eating, but let's remember that, you know, I exercise a minimal amount really. And I'm genetically, I'm kind of lucky, right? Like, I'm lucky that I have a pretty decent metabolism and I do eat really well too, but but just because I look this way doesn't, like, I hate that that's the first place that people's mind goes, is that I look the way I look because I exercise and I eat really well. And it's like, I don't want to, you know, like, make that be the standard, because there's people who probably eat better than me, and you might not fit them in that category.
Yeah. We need to stop equating body size with health too, because I mean, really, there's all different shapes and sizes of bodies, and you don't actually know that person's metabolic markers of health. Like, they might look like they're overweight and actually not be. It's not very common, but, you know, it's possible.
Yeah, totally.
I would say it is really common, though, because when you look at it from, like, a laboratory value standpoint, they go in, and if they're able, my opinion, my philosophy on fitness is that you are able to do the things that you really want to do. You eat a well-balanced diet, and when you go to your doctor for your yearly lab draw, like we all should, your labs come back and they're normal, with the exception of if you have an underlying disease non-related to, you know, your health, you know, your nutritional health, if that makes sense. Obviously, right. Like, a, you know, if you have type 1 diabetes, well controlled, you're still going to have abnormal lab values, because that's just part of the package, right? But that's how I like to think more of fitness and health, because I don't think it's fair. You don't have to have no body fat and be healthy. And I think by today's standards, people who we would say are overweight are pretty healthy, right?
Yes, you definitely can be. And, like, that's where you would need to look at those lab values and those markers, and because, you know, there, you can become unhealthy if you're at too high of a body weight for your frame and for you as a person.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's not, it's just, it doesn't necessarily equate to this body type is healthier, like a lot of people inherently believe, you know? It's, yeah. There's some bias there.
Yeah, and I just feel like that topic is kind of controversial, even in, like, the dietitian world, like people who have degrees in nutrition or dietetics. That topic gets tricky, because I'm all for, like, health at every size, right? Like, you can be overweight and be super healthy, but then... Right. There comes a point where you can be overweight and it's not healthy. So yeah. I think, like, what are you guys' opinion? Like, how do you, is it just varies from person to person, or where is the line? You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, I think again, this would be, if I were counseling someone, right. If I had a client,
yeah.
I think that it would start with, well, what are the things that you want to do? Are you able to do it? And then you refer to the things that we recommend, right? 30 minutes of good heart pumping exercise a day minimum.
Right.
Or however many, how many minutes is it in a week? I should probably know that. And I can't remember. 120?
It's either, I think it's 75 of high intensity or 150 like low intensity.
Yeah.
Per week.
You know, yeah. There's certain markers of health that we have as a standard that, to reference, and it's, you know, and it's like a general rule of thumb, this is what we should be doing to maintain a healthy lifestyle, but nowhere in there does it say, oh, and by the way, you have to be a size 4 to fit these criteria, right?
Yeah
right. I probably have a lot more to learn about health at every size. I haven't researched it a whole lot, but I think going back to our conversation on body image, it definitely starts with just calling out some of the bias just in our society towards people like that. You know, people automatically assume that people in bigger bodies are less healthy or overeat or don't exercise or are lazy or whatever. And those are really, I mean, really big assumptions to make. And obviously those things aren't always true, but I think we just have to help as dietitians, like, spread the word that everybody is amazing and that there will always be people in all different shapes and sizes. You can't make yourself into this one image,
right,
that we want to see.
I think a great example is, I'm not going to name names, but one of our like temporary professors at the university who was a dietitian and also like taught fitness classes, like a lot of fitness classes. She was one of the most active people, right? You know who I'm talking mm-hmm. about?
Yeah.
And she didn't fit the standard, I don't think. You know what I mean? Like yeah. she wasn't by any means overweight, but her build, like kind of a stockier build. And if you didn't know about her lifestyle, I think that our snap judgment would be like, oh yeah, she's overweight, even though uh-huh. she's not. If you take a closer look, you're like, no, she's not. Like, that's just her build. But I just think from like a perspective of a consumer standpoint, I think that they're kind of underserved, and they're also kind of, I don't want to say discriminated against, but I do think that there's like a stigma against people who don't fit our standard, and it drives me bonkers.
Well, that's a real right. thing. Like, discriminating against someone who might be overweight or fat, that's a real thing. Like, fat discrimination, that's a real thing. Especially in our world, as dietitians, we're expected to fit that like ideal standard.
Yeah.
Yes.
And can I just add too, I have no clue who you're talking about, and I wish I did.
Do you guys personally know people who are maybe a little bit caught up in trying to attain this, or maybe are feeling extra pressured by it?
So much, yes.
Yeah, so many. I mean, like, every conversation I had, this literally happened to me last weekend. I was having a conversation with friends, and I have this one friend, and I mean, okay, so they're both men, and we see a lot of like body image issues with women, but with men too. And I was talking to this group of friends, and there's this one particular friend that always wants to tell me like what new diet he's on, like what he's been eating. Like, he just loves to talk about it with me. And to reference, he's been on like keto, he's tried carnivore, like he's tried all these different things. And this time it was just like a more well-rounded type of diet that I would say is just like, you know, mostly healthy with a little bit of like, quote unquote, like unhealthier foods in moderation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey, you know, that sounds like a lot better than the keto or carnivore where you're cutting out a lot of food groups. And mm-hmm. my other friend overhears us, and he comes in and he's like, why wouldn't you do carnivore diet? And I'm like, well, it's like literally just meat. Like, that's the carnivore diet, for anyone who doesn't know, is like you cut out all food groups except meat. So you're just eating meat. And I'm like, you know, you're cutting out a lot of food groups. You're missing out on a lot of important nutrients, like all the reasons, which there's so many that I could probably list, but all these reasons. And he's like, well, you know, Joe Rogan did carnivore diet. And I'm just like, okay,
no.
Like, fuck Joe Rogan. I'm so tired of him giving nutrition advice. Like, I'm like,
he does do that.
Like, cool. He has a podcast. He has a lot of listeners. He's giving so much nutrition advice, you guys. And I am so sick of it. But as soon as he said Joe Rogan, I was just like, fuck that guy. Like, I like Joe Rogan, but like, please stop giving nutrition advice. But
the moment he recommends the carnivore diet.
Stay in your damn scope.
Exactly.
In all fields.
Anyways, I said that. I'm like, well, fuck Joe Rogan. No offense to Joe Rogan, except please stop giving nutrition advice. And he goes, well, have you seen Joe Rogan? He's ripped. And I'm like, okay, so this is all about appearance. Like, obviously, who knows?
Not health.
Exactly. And who knows what's going on inside Joe Rogan's body? Not to target Joe Rogan, but if he's on the carnivore diet or on keto, I mean, I just can't imagine that there's a lot of good stuff going on inside that body.
Like, you can look ripped and still get heart disease.
Exactly.
That's the thing, is those conditions, you don't show symptoms until, you know, always until
you have a heart attack.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you can start damaging your arteries as soon as you're like a child, if you're eating a soup, like a really, really bad diet. Like, that happens throughout your whole life.
It happens all the time. Look at, do you guys remember Bob Harper of The Biggest Loser?
Yeah.
Someone who was highly well known for being fit, being healthy. You know, he was a personal trainer for years and years and had a heart attack like in his late 40s or early 50s, I believe, just out of the blue. And that just goes to show that also it's not always lifestyle factors that are within our control. You know, there's genetic components as well.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just, I don't know. I'm tired of how appearance-based everything is.
Yes.
It's just
the thing
really
is, people will go to lengths, such extreme lengths to look that way. And they are throwing health by the wayside too.
And enjoyment. Like, yeah, life. Enjoyment. Like, we, you know, our life is pretty short. And the thought of devoting, you know, and if you want to devote 3 or 4 hours a day to the gym, rock on, go you, if that's your thing. But I hate that that's kind of like the expectation that we have for everyone. It's like, you can be rich and famous if you have someone who cooks all your meals, have a personal chef, have a dietitian on staff, or a nutritionist, or someone maybe kind of not qualified, or have, you know, 3 or 4 hours a day to devote to just going to the gym and getting gains and getting swole, you know, like. And it bothers me because it's like, we have this expectation that everybody should throw out life and enjoyment for quote unquote health. And it's like, you don't have to. You eat a well-balanced diet. You include physical activity. You drink a beer. You eat the bread. You live a good, long, healthy life.
Yes.
You know, we talked last week about like the Italians, right, who live on pasta and wine. But they're so active. They walk everywhere. They're, you know, they socialize, they eat in groups. They, you know, it's just like a whole different.
They enjoy their food.
Exactly. And they live for a really long time.
It is so different.
Yeah. I always want to bring that up whenever someone is trying to sell me some super greens blend with, you know, a million different things guaranteed to make you live longer, whatever. I'm like, we don't need to discover anything special. People are doing this over in the Mediterranean and it's nothing revolutionary, but we can't accept that.
Yeah, I totally agree.
One thing I was really excited to talk about today too, because all of this body image stuff, it doesn't come for free. It is affecting our kids and our communities. So I work as an inpatient dietitian in the hospital in pediatrics. So there's been a rise in eating disorders here in Boise over the past couple years. And in fact, just today, I had a 17-year-old kid with a new eating disorder diagnosis. And
oh my God.
It's something a lot of times that parents, a lot of times some of it is coming from the parents because they are modeling certain behaviors around food, exercise, health, that kids are picking up on. And teenagers especially are good at taking things to the extreme. And it's just so sad to see. I mean, this kid clearly had an eating disorder. I asked her what she ate and she told me it was very little, guys, very little. Mostly like vegetables with no calories, like lettuce.
Oh my God.
But the worst part about it is that when she was describing what she eats in a day, she said it with kind of this air of pride. Like, as the dietitian, I am going to give her a gold star for how healthy she's being. And that to me is just so indicative that of the problem, that as a broader society, we have equated health and nutrition with weight loss.
Yeah, totally.
And low calorie.
Yeah. And just like, kids are so, they can be influenced so easily. And if their parents are telling whatever their parents are saying or telling them to eat a certain way, if like her parents were the reason that she was eating that way, she probably does feel proud because she finally, you know, was reaching up to her parents' standards. And I just think,
yes,
I mean, like, you, as a parent, you just have so much influence on your kids, whether or not you know it, because they might act like, you know, they hate you or like they're too cool for you, but they're listening. Like, kids are always listening. They always want to know what you're eating. Like, you really have to watch what you say in front of kids.
Yeah. And it's such a high pressure environment for them too, because they've grown up on social media.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't remember a time where it didn't exist. So the pressure is constant.
Yeah. And it's just constant comparison of other people and what they look like to yourself. It's really hard. And imagine being in like in middle school, I was a freaking insecure little like girl. I can't imagine having Instagram right now, just constantly comparing myself. I was insecure without Instagram. Like, yeah. I just can't imagine what it would be like right now going through middle school and high school, like constantly comparing yourself, not to people just in your school, but to people literally anywhere.
Well, and also like people who are adults, right? Like middle school, that early mid adolescence is, I mean, you're going through puberty, your body's changing, shit gets weird. And, you know,
and you need lots of calories to grow.
Right? You need calories, and you have to change your pant size, and it's upsetting, but then you get used to it. Like, we're all insecure at that age because your body's changing. Like, it's a terrible time to have like someone on Instagram who looks like so perfect and claims to be your age, and maybe they are, but it's like they're in a different time than you, you know? When you're and even when you're an adult, you shouldn't have to. I hate that we have to compare ourselves to others. And that we do, you know, and it's not that we have to, but it's that's kind of the culture.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I was just going to say, do you guys think beauty standards will always be around?
I hope not, but probably.
I think so, too. I just think that there's no way around it right now. Like, I mean, right now and in the future, because technology is changing so quick. Social media is going to it's just going to be there like forever. Yeah. From here on out, like there's no way that it won't be a part of our lives. So I think like,
yeah,
unless everybody goes to therapy and gets counseling on how not to compare yourself to others, it's right. Gonna be there.
Yeah, so that was my question pertains to social media. Like, what is your biggest turn off from a social media account? What's the first thing? And not like the randos who have zero followers and follow you randomly just to hack you, like from a legit account.
So, okay, I could go two ways here. One of them would be nutrition related. Like, if someone's selling the fucking skinny tea, like Khloe Kardashian, I'm out. Like, I'm pretty sure I unfollowed Khloe because I'm just like, hello, that is not going to make anyone lose weight, Khloe. Like, you cannot be promoting a skinny tea when you have the money for a trainer, for probably a dietitian, for like a nutritionist, who the fuck knows. A person
probably not a dietitian, let's be real.
Yeah
skinny tea doesn't tell us anything about the rest of this person's diet either.
Exactly,
that's not where the calories are coming from.
But I'm just like, same, like going back to Joe Rogan, Khloe Kardashian has so much influence on people, and if she's selling the skinny tea, 100% so many people just bought that skinny tea because they want to look like Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, like,
that's probably my number one thing. And
the most important thing for me on social media, that I mean, the biggest turnoff is either selling like products like that are false and not evidence-based. Or the other thing would have to be just spreading blatant nutrition misinformation or like generalized advice. There's one person in particular who I have a really hard time with on social media. You guys know who I'm talking about, because she always posts videos talking about nutrition related topics, but and this person has a huge influence. A lot of people follow her advice, take her word, hook, line, and sinker.
This is a fellow dietitian, right?
No, she's actually not a dietitian. That's the other thing. So this person is,
oh God.
I thought like we could leave it in. I just am so tired of.
Right. And there's a couple things going back to the question. So she spreads nutrition misinformation and pseudoscience. Okay. Several of her videos and posts tell people to cut out all grains, all sugars. So again, another low carb craze, but it's also the fact that this person doesn't really have credentials to be giving nutrition advice in the first place.
Yeah.
Yes.
And people really need to be aware to that and say, you know what? No, I'm not going to buy into this, and I'm going to be critical of where I get my information.
Yeah. An informed consumer.
Yes. And I think that's a whole, I mean, like, I think we could talk about this too in another podcast, like the difference between a dietitian and a nutritionist, because I think a lot of people don't know. Like, even today, I had my nutrition consult today with someone, and it went so well. But he kept saying, like, I was looking for a good nutritionist. Like, I was asking, I asked, like, Axiom for a good nutritionist, and I'm glad I finally found one. And I'm like, oh, it hurts a little bit to be called a nutritionist. But that's fine. I think that's
Did right. you explain to him?
People just don't know.
Yeah.
Did you explain it though?
No.
Okay. I think that's part of where we as professionals have to stand up and be like, hey, by the way, I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist.
Yeah, but totally. I agree. I think that it's, I mean, yeah, it is our job to educate people about that. There's, I mean, like, I think we're outnumbered though by like the quote unquote nutritionists out there.
We may be outnumbered, but we're also outvoiced. So a lot of the thing today, people don't care as much about credentials all the time. What they care about is influence. And to some extent, I totally understand that. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Definitely.
I totally agree.
So we need to do, I think we as dietitians and individuals should be stepping up to that challenge too.
I do too. And I mean, going back to social media, I think that's why I just think all dietitians should be on social media. I was a little late in the game. Like, I literally just made an Instagram like last week. But I think that we should all be on social media because there's so many nutritionists. Like, when I made my Instagram, for example, it gives you an option. If you make a business page, it gives you an option to put like what your business is. Dietitian is not even an option. They give you an option for nutritionist instead of dietitian.
Right.
And I'm like, hello, like, we need to be represented and we need to know the difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian, but it's not even an option on Instagram.
Morgan, I think you should get on the horn with Instagram.
Yeah, I should write them a letter or like an email.
I've been saying I'm going to do it for over a year and I just haven't.
Libby, it's a lot of work, so I get that. Like,
it is a lot of work, and
I don't think you have to post that much. People go to people that they find on Instagram or on social media, and typically that's nutritionists, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
I have my social media, my turn off is because this is part of why I have a hard time making my own.
Yeah.
I have a personal page, but like doing an informational page. Because my biggest turnoff for things is fake, like staged. When every single post on there is like edited, posed, staged.
Yeah. So,
like when it's, again, like the influencer type of, like, I didn't even know. There's like a formula to get more followers on your page and like how you lay it out to draw, to make things appealing to the eye. And I'm like, I have posted so many pictures with my eyes closed, like, and I'm happy about it. Like, I just post pictures that I find demonstrate me as a human, right? And like, I'm super goofy and I swear a lot and I like to drink, like, and that's what my Instagram I think reflects, like, to a point, right? And I'm also educated and I have a voice and I care. But like, if I see someone who has like a well-staged Instagram page, I do not even engage. I do not follow. I do not even browse. I immediately ignore it.
Libby, that's interesting.
Cool. Yeah, I don't think everyone is like that though.
No. And I mean, and I think that's my problem is it's like, it's going to be hard for me to pull in, you know, whatever. It's going to be hard for me to pull in followers with minimal posting because I refuse to do the things that you have to do to get followers, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just always confused. And maybe I'll never have followers. And I'm pretty chill with that. Like, I can deal. I think that I'll make a voice in a different way if I have to. But like,
Libby, I think that's fine.
Right?
Social media is not for everyone.
I refuse to do the standard because I hate it. But, you know. And again, it's not like a bad thing. It's just something that I don't follow very many people that I don't know personally on Instagram.
Yeah.
But when I do, it's like people who have some good shit to say and that are really real about it. Like they post really shameless, poorly timed selfies and I love it.
See, Libby, I think that more people need to be like you because that's why we're in this problem of body image anyways, because you don't care about, like, you don't want the like perfect Instagram. You want like the opposite of that. But a lot of people want that like perfect Instagram. And that's why so many people are like,
I just want people to understand like per BMI, I'm healthy. Per a well-staged photo, I look fine. Yeah. But when I sit down, I have a belly roll. I love my belly roll. It represents the fact that I just don't care enough, not don't care enough, that I just don't, I don't want to have no body fat because I know how that impacts my health. Like as a woman, having a really low body fat, it can impact my fertility and someday I want children, right?
Yeah, like, and your mental health. Like there's so many aspects that we could really talk about.
Yeah, and I wish that, you know, every once in a while someone would take off their shapewear and show a belly roll. A yeah. famous person. I want a famous person to sit down and show a belly roll. Like a dick.
I think it's more common. It's getting more common. I wish it was more common yeah. as like showing off like a bikini picture from like a model. I wish it was as common as that. But I think we're working our way there. I hope we're working our way there.
Yeah. I do too. I want to do another version of this, but with a guest. Or two. So I have a few people in mind. We'll save them for a later date. But one of them, she's a stylist and body positivity speaker and like a badass curvy woman, like super healthy, super health oriented due to like underlying medical conditions. Yeah. But definitely doesn't fit the standard. She does like curvy modeling. Someday, you know, when we have the time, we need to do like a guest, and I think a guest with people who have more experience with like the other side community. Of it, yeah, with yeah. that community, right? Like a community of people who really don't feel great about themselves all the time because of how our society is structured and how our, not our society, but how our like social media and our ideals, right?
Yeah,
right. I think it's important, like too, just to say that we're not immune. I mean, I know I'm not immune from feeling that comparison sometimes and, you know, feeling that pressure. It's like, I'm sure most people have had that feeling of, oh, how do I measure up? You know, is there something about myself that I would like to change? But it's like, when you have those thoughts, I think we just need to work on collectively more acceptance and more, it's okay. It's socially acceptable. It's be you, and you are, this is so cliche, but everybody is beautiful. And for sure. Until people really feel that, I think your reaction might be to try a fad diet or to try obsessive exercise to try and change it rather than feel healthy, be your best.
And let's be honest, if you feel like, I'm pretty comfortable, but I want to lose 10 pounds for me just because I do. Good for you. Great. Yeah. I love it.
Right.
Find a professional. Find a dietitian. We're here for you. Like, there are people out there who are certified in weight loss counseling, who have the education to back up gradual, successful, sustainable weight loss. Like, what the point of this is, like, don't try and quick fix it because society is telling you to. Try and long-term fix it because you want to, or don't, whatever, it's your choice. Yeah. But yeah. Like be informed about it, be educated about it.
Yeah, right. And I think too, it's just important to note that like motivation of appearance is so fleeting. Like when a client comes to you and they want to lose weight because they want to look better in a bikini. It's like, okay, cool. You want to look better in a bikini. You need to find some other motivators because just like coming to a dietitian or whoever and being like, I want to look better. That is such a fleeting feeling. And that is typically not enough motivation for someone to lose weight and to keep it off because there needs to be like some other motivators there. Like, oh, I just want to feel better, or like my mental health, or sleep better, like whatever it is, whatever the reasons are for wanting to lose weight or wanting to look better, not wanting to look better, but wanting to lose weight. I think it's important to find other things other than appearance. Like, it's cool. Like, I think a lot of people can relate to the fact that like, oh, I want to look better. That's fine. Like, if you want to look better, that's fine. But just make sure your reasonings for that are because you want to look better, not because society is telling you that you need to look better.
Right. Yes.
And can we touch on BMI quick, like a hot bunny?
Yeah.
If you go to your doctor and they're like, well, you're obese per your BMI. If that's the only information that they have and they're telling you that you're obese and you need to lose weight, kindly tell them to shove it.
Yeah.
And go find yourself a dietitian, because we're, you know, just because you're on, I'm just going to keep bringing up me, who you do not know what I look like, but I am on the high, the middle to high end of my BMI range, of an appropriate, age appropriate BMI range, middle to high end. You two know me. I'm not a very large human. Okay. Yeah. But guess what? I'm middle to high end. I'm bordering on that overweight BMI. And, you know, I'm cool with it. I'm really quite fine. But it's like, if I were uninformed about it and didn't have the knowledge that I have about, like, oh, hey, that doesn't bring into account your muscle mass or your bone structure or your just general kind of, like, other health markers that are not just your pounds in weight. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Right.
Yeah, Libby, even today, like, I had a consultation today and he was an ultra marathon runner and his BMI would have classified him in the overweight section. And I'm just like, in no means was he overweight, like, at all. He maybe had, I don't know, more muscle mass or high bone.
An ultra marathon, marathon runner?
Ultra marathon, yeah.
I mean, how many miles is that, Morgan?
So anything, I'm not sure, because right now he's training for, I believe it was like a 50 kilometer run coming up in like the next couple of weeks, and then a 100 kilometer run coming up in August.
Ooh.
Is that not insane? That's like double a marathon. It
makes me just want to cry. I can't even, like, 6 miles and I want to just.
I know. When I was asking him more about it and he's like, yeah, I mean, because I asked him, like, how long does it typically take you for, like, a run or whatever, like, one of your longer runs? And he's like, well, that day on my run, I'll probably be running for, like, 13 or 14 hours. And
oh, I'm my God.
Like, wow. Shut the door. I can't.
Shoot me.
I can't.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know.
That's good. I mean, that's
talk about mental fortitude.
No kidding. But he talked about it like it was so easy. He's like, I know, like, okay, so for reference, he doesn't really, like, for one of that long of a run, normally you'd be, like, eating food on your run because you're running for so long, right? And you need the fuel.
Right.
He has not been doing that at all. Like, he'll just go on really super long runs and just not eat the whole time. And I'm like, how have you been making it that far? And he's just like, I feel fine. Like, he's like, I in my head, I know that I need to work on my nutrition, but I feel fine when I'm running.
Not even like a little gel, like Gatorade gel pack?
No, Libby, nothing.
Ooh, mama.
Yeah.
Wow.
My mom runs marathons. I mean, she's a badass little woman, but, like, I mean, but even, and she hates them, but she even eats, like, those little, whatever, like a...
The little gels
that you run because you need electrolytes, which, I mean, she is old, but I don't know if she did that when she was young or not, but...
Yeah, well, for most marathon runners, you need, I mean...
Mama,
you need,
sir, like, you're not cards. Really old. You're not old at all. I take it back.
I wonder if it's something where he feels fine, but... Like, once you guys start working on nutrition and nutrition conditioning, and, like, maybe that will improve his performance then, you know, because I think really there's no way around the fact that you are better when you maximize nutrition for those, especially something like that.
Yeah. And that's what I,
because you can't perform without fuel, you know,
that's what I'm hoping for. I was just surprised. He's like, I feel great when I run. And I'm like, I run 3 miles and think I'm going to die. Like, how do you just feel great?
Are you going to do like a body fat percent on him? Use calipers and arm circumference? You know, and
I didn't. We did one consultation today and basically all we discussed in 1 hour was like race day nutrition, because he's not eating anything during his races. And to me, that was like our number one problem. So I'm assuming we'll keep having consultations from here on out and we'll see what the focus is going forward. But today we just talked about like race day nutrition. So I'm hoping to keep working with him though, because I really think that we could like improve his performance a lot.
Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
So cool, Morgan. I applaud both of you because I couldn't do peds and I have minimal interest in performance nutrition because it's just not my thing. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's why I don't know. I feel like I learn a lot from you guys because, like, Libby, you're super into ag Cody, you're like a pediatric dietitian. I feel like we all have our little areas, and I learn a lot from you guys, so I like it.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that. I think we bring a nice like mix of perspectives to these topics too.
Yeah. Well, sorry, I got kind of off topic there.
No, it was fine. It was good. It was good conversation. Whatever. Let's reiterate that this is always probably going to be a little bit off topic, but yeah. Good information.
Yeah. Unscripted.
Yeah. And we're drinking, so I've filled my wine glass twice. How have you guys been doing?
I've had
staying hydrated. Mojitos.
How many? Ooh. Two?
Two mojitos for me.
Yeah, okay, I'm glad because I'm like feeling a little like I'm ahead, but we're good.
Yeah, Libby, and it's like only 4 o'clock there.
I know. It's fine. I'm gonna walk it off after this. I'm gonna go on a nice hot 93 degree walk when I get out of my kiddie pool. So
oh, fun.
So do you guys think, I don't know, like do you think there's anything that we can do as dietitians to help quell the body image hype or the pressures of society?
From an evidence-based standpoint, from my experience in a clinical setting, evidence-based standpoint, you do not have to be within your, you know, you don't have to fit a certain body type to be healthy. Like you just don't.
Yeah,
and I think there just needs to be awareness about that.
Yeah, so I think from here, like we call people out. I think in normal conversations, like when someone brought up Joe Rogan, I'm like, I don't give a fuck what Joe Rogan looks like. Like I care about what's going on inside his body and if he's healthy and if he's happy, but like I don't care what Joe Rogan looks like. I think just kind of calling people out and having conversations that aren't always comfortable about, you know, appearance isn't everything, and just because you look good doesn't mean you're healthy, or if you don't look like the ideal standards, that doesn't mean you're unhealthy. Like I think having those conversations is really important.
Yeah, being a doer, not like a just a social media warrior, which is like, you know, pretty much my entire philosophy as a I'm back, sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. We were just trying to wrap things up real quick.
Perfect.
Is there anything else you want to add, Lib? Do people call you Lib?
Yeah. Ad-lib.
Ad-lib. Oh! yes, people call me. I've had so many nicknames. But yeah, Lib and Libs seems to be the popular adult nickname, which is interesting to me. I'm fine.
Do you like it, though? Because I won't call you Lib. It just seemed like...
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. Just, you know, okay, don't...
Then I'll call you Lib.
I mean, unless you want to, or I'm being one, and that's fine, but...
Yeah. Any closing thoughts?
You're freaking a goddess in whatever body you got.
Okay, and she's Ooh, out.
She's out.
's for joining us on Dietitian Power Hour. This is Libby.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Cody.
We drop episodes every Sunday night.
Find us on Instagram at Dietitian Power Hour Pod. And you can also follow us on Spotify.
Good God, we did it. Hallelujah.